Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. If you are new to our podcast, please consider subscribing to it and hit the bell icon so that you never miss an update. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and I'm today delighted to welcome a good friend, a successful entrepreneur from Utah, United States, Ahad Gadimi. Ahad, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Ahad is the managing director of Core Work Capital, which is a fund that acquires businesses and transitions them to employee-owned businesses. He's the founder of Forums at Work. He's the author of a book, Turnaround Artist, and I'm always very partial to authors. And he's a fellow YPO member. So Ahad, let's talk about Core Work Capital. You are a fund that acquires businesses and transitions them to employees. Help me understand this with some examples.
Yeah, great. So our mission is to create the maximum number of employee owners. And so we feel that employee ownership is the greatest way to create company value, impact people's lives, bridge the wealth inequality gap, and have a rippling effect in society. Mm-hmm. And so we're always looking for business owners who are looking for a liquidity event, mm-hmm. and want to sell their business. And what's interesting about us is you could actually sell your business. You're actually not selling it to us. We're technically not acquiring it. We're mm-hmm. technically setting up what's called an ESOP. It's an employee mm-hmm. stock ownership plan. Yeah. So it's an extremely tax efficient structure for the business. In short, the business will never pay taxes again. That's the rules with ESOPs in America. But then that owner, if they wanted to, they can actually still run the business and actually have shares in the business going forward. So it's almost like, you know, having your cake and eating it. But then what we do is we establish what's called an employee ownership culture. So we help the employees collaborate and connect and work together in a way that they'd never have. B, and this is where it gets really interesting, is we teach financial literacy. So we help everybody understand how the business works. You know, and if you ever go into, I mean, any business, if you're a business owner, go ask any of your employees what the profit margin of the business is. Mm. And you'll be pretty shocked to know that, first of all, a lot of people don't know what that means. And when you do explain to them that it's when you take away the expenses and from the revenues, most people will say something like, I don't know, 50%, 80%. Mm-hmm. And they don't realize, you know, how small it is. And it's, you know, when I first brought this to my family's business, you know, my father used to park, you know, his fancy cars at the back, far away so no one saw, because he thought if we sort of shared, people would want to raise and everything. Wow. But what I came to tell him is, every time the money goes to the cash register, people think that goes into your pocket. Mm. So people think you're making 10 times more than you're actually making. Right. And so that's a big part of this culture change that we're looking to create.
So, you know, a basic question that always is asked is that founders bring a lot of passion to their business. How do you see the same kind of passion in employees?
Employees, look, it's not the same kind of passion. It's not necessarily the same start a business type of take a risk mm-hmm. passion, but people are passionate. Mm-hmm. And often what happens is that passion gets eroded and turns into apathy because of the way a culture is set up, mm-hmm. because of people's lack of awareness of how to manage. Often people are not taught or trained. Someone's mm-hmm. really good at their job, so they get promoted. Now they have to manage a bunch of people, and no one ever really helped mentor them often on how to be a great leader and how to really bring out that passion and how to mm-hmm. channel that passion that people naturally have mm-hmm. Towards what they're doing. Okay. And so having experienced that, you know, I've experienced that in one of my turnarounds was a manufacturing facility in mm-hmm. South Carolina that employed 60% of our employees were from the penal system. There were ex-cons. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I remember when I got involved, people said, you know, there's no hope here. You can't get these people to care. I said, you know, I beg to differ. And it was those same group that helped a company that was losing $2 million a year for over 4 years to turn it around in 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. So, you know, my next question is that, what do employees do differently that founders don't? I mean, I asked you the question of a passion of founders, but how do employees turn it around much, much better?
So new employees often have the unique vantage point of being right on the front line often. So they are just face-to-face. So employees are like data collection centers. Mm. Often they don't realize it. So they're seeing things, hearing things that is just, that's it's gold. Mm. And our roles as leaders is to help turn that gold into valuable insights and to use that to better understand the customer, better understand how to service the customer, or to get ahead of potential issues. So I think that's the difference. You know, with founders, you know, as business gets bigger, they get further from the client often, and they get into strategic roles, which is exciting and inspiring for founders. But how do you keep that connection with the employees who's running the business, who's doing the thing, you know?
Very well said. And, you know, when I was reading about you, I read that one of the things that you go and do is to change the culture of a company.
That's right.
I'd like to understand, what do you do to change culture? Because culture is a very big challenge in most organizations.
You know, it's interesting. I did a talk at the National Center of Employee Ownership about 4 years ago, and it was probably one of the worst receptions I got from a talk. It felt completely flat. And my topic was that culture change is actually quite easy. And so that was that. People didn't believe me. And so that's actually what led to Forums at Work, because that is a perception, exactly as you mentioned, Ashutosh. It's a culture is difficult. Culture is hard. Culture is just a set of behaviors and beliefs, you know, and very often that starts from the top. So if you really want to see the culture of a business, you often don't have to look very much further than the senior leadership, and everything around that trickles down. And so it really starts with changing little tiny behaviors. And so, you know, in my book, Turnaround Artists, it's a story about a family business that falls into chaos when the father gets into an accident and can't run the business anymore. And the son begrudgingly has to come home and take over. It's actually a true story, by the way. Wow. And the goal of the son, me, I did not want to do with the family business. I just wanted to help set it up so that in case my father couldn't come back, the family business could keep going, people could have their jobs, family could be in good shape, and I could go back to my life. And what I did in this process, and I sort of detail in my book, is we go through 10, they're simple behaviors, but they're behaviors that we don't often practice, behaviors like giving positive praise, you know, leading with questions, asking a lot of questions about when someone comes to you with a challenge, coaching them to help them find the solution.
Correct.
You make a mistake, owning the mistake. I mean, these are not groundbreaking things. These are not things that I created, but it's building the habit of doing these things. And that's what Forums at Work is it's creating these tiny little micro sessions and these little support groups so people can so teams within a company can develop these little behavior changes that compound and have massive impact.
Very interesting. So let's come to Forums at Work. I mean, you know, you and I are both YPO members, so we automatically understand the meaning of forum.
That's right.
Thousands of people who are going to be listening to you, what is a forum?
So a forum is it's a group of people that come together. It's a group of peers, so people who have on a similar level of seniority in their roles, or there's a relevance. So they come together and they commit to speaking and sharing experiences in a safe environment, meaning at the beginning of every conversation, you commit to never repeating anything you hear. This is a confidential, this is a vault. This is stays between us. Number one. Number two, we're not going to give advice unless someone specifically says, I want advice. We don't share advice. Okay. We share experiences. Number three, let's really push and share the things that we're really proud of, top 5%. And let's talk about the things that makes us a little uncomfortable, very uncomfortable even, bottom 5%. In other words, let's be vulnerable. But that kind of helps define what vulnerability is, because the things that it makes you insecure to talk about, and maybe the things that you're really proud of, but you don't want to boast or seem like you're gloating or whatever. So that's what a forum structure is. Now, what you do in that forum looks different. So my YPO forum and your YPO forum, we get together, we share an update about our personal family business life. We talk about, we do a deep dive on hot topics that are bothering us or we want to learn about. That's the YPO forum. In forums at work, what I was curious about was, this experience, you talk to the 30,000 YPO members and like 99.9, if not 100 of them say, oh my God, it's life changing. I don't know where I'd be without it. And I had that experience when I joined YPO about 5-6 years ago. And I thought, well, how do I bring this to my employees? And so you can't have those exact same conversations with the people you work with. You can't talk about your personal life in that level of detail, but you could have a conversation and commit to confidentiality and discretion. You could commit to not giving advice and sharing experience. And you could push and talk about things you're more uncomfortable with or you're more proud of in the way you hadn't before. You can move the needle. And so forums at work has two sort of functions. One, it's for if it's within a company. So with your senior leadership team or your project management team, or cross-functional teams, you get together and we talk about different, it's like a learning group. So we talk about different themes, like how do you develop a coaching habit? How do you do time management? How do you have crucial conversations? You know, so we go through these different topics. They're short 1-hour conversations, but we do this in a very intentional way with sort of the protocols that I shared. Okay. And so what we've done, we're now in 12 countries, and we get a senior leadership team and a high-performing team to start. They actually read my book on our platform, one chapter at a time. At the end of every chapter, there's one action step. It takes 30 seconds a day to do that action step. This is what causes the behavior change. And so they start applying that and sharing about it on their group chat. So they talk about it in their forum meeting, apply it during the week, and then get back together the following week. And they get to talk about like, wow, this week, every day we commit to giving one positive praise to one person and it had an amazing impact. Wow, I guess we should do that more often. Or wow, this is my experience. This is how it made me feel. Or I said this person and they started to cry. Oh my God. Like, so they get to really share the feelings and experiences. And then what we found is when that happens within a company is then when it's done, they're like, we need to get everybody else forum trained. So it creates a movement and eventually a whole company becomes trained in how to have a forum like conversation, where you have discretion, you share top five, bottom five. And the most common question I get from YPO members who are familiar with this is to say, well, I can't share everything with my employees and it's true. That's not the goal. The goal within your coworkers is not 100% transparency. Just more transparency. It's sharing more of your feelings. Let people in a little more. We also create intercompany forums. So we just finished launching forums for HR leaders and ops leaders of YPO companies from we're 9 different countries. And I mean, it was unbelievable. And I think you might find this interesting. They meet every week. So our YPO forums meet every month. These guys meet every single week. And they say they move mountains to make that meeting work. So my belief is that everybody needs a space, you know, whether it's with your coworkers and with people from other companies where you can be real, learn about each other, learn from each other.
That's absolutely incredible, you know, because as you were talking, I was thinking there is something what I call YPO speak. And if I was to tell you, Ahad, I'm going to tell you something that is forum confidential, that's it. You understand exactly what I'm saying, right? Exactly. And we've never met physically. We're talking on a Zoom call. I was just trying to figure out what would be the power of forum confidential, that phrase, within a company or a group of companies.
You know, people learn, I think that the first thing that comes to mind is less is no gossip. What is gossip? Gossip is just communication that you don't feel comfortable doing publicly. You have to do it in private because you don't want to get in trouble. You don't have that psychological safety. So if people feel like they can share, and there's a place where they can share and they can be heard, mm-hmm. and it's going to be kept confidential, or people are going to respect it, there's that discretion. Mm-hmm. Now people can actually air out their thoughts. And you and I both know when you say something out loud that's festering in your mind, it's often not as bad when you say it out loud. You get that catharsis. So I think really what I've noticed, it reduces the politics within mm-hmm. the company. It opens communication. It opens... It's safety. It's that psychological safety. And it's at that point that innovation, more collaboration becomes possible, because you can actually speak without feeling any repercussion. And you can understand how to do that in a way that's constructive. And there's actually a venue for it.
Fabulous. So now let's move to your book, Turnaround Artists. First, tell me, is the book available on Amazon?
It is.
And it's just Turnaround Artists by Ahad Gadimi.
Yeah, it's Turnaround Artists, plural. And the ethos and spirit of the book mm-hmm. is that we don't need one turnaround artist to turn around a company. We need everybody to become turnaround artists. And so the book is a tool, actually. Mm-hmm. Many people, especially when I was sharing it with like fellow YPO peers at the beginning, I'd give it to them and they'd read it. And people would often read it in one or two sittings. It's a very easy and sort of engaging read. And and I'd say, well, that's great. you read it so quickly. But really, the idea is actually to read a chapter, stop, apply it.
Yeah.
Read a chapter, stop, apply it.
And then
and to actually see what happens when, going back to our culture conversation, is when we apply little behaviors that have like a resounding impact. Mm-hmm. So the story is about Turnaround Artists is about a family business, my family's business. Mm-hmm. And look, when I was 13, I swore to myself, I want nothing to do with my family's business mm-hmm. because I was the eldest, you know, we were immigrants from Iran. And as an eldest, you know, you go to the work, you go to work every weekend after school in the summertime. And look, frankly, I love the people. I didn't always really love the way it felt there. There was a lot of stress. There was strife between people. There was conflict. And I didn't agree. I didn't think that's how a business should be run, you know, and I just didn't feel good. Mm-hmm. And I didn't. And you know, in many ways, my father and I, we didn't really agree on how leaders should lead and what a culture should look like. Mm-hmm. So great. When I finished business school, I went far and away and started a swimsuit business in Costa Rica and the south of France mm-hmm. and just did everything I could to stay away from it. Okay. But then when my father had an accident and there was nobody else to really take over. Mm-hmm. And so I had to go back. And so that's what the book is about. It's me going back. And I sort of take the reader on a journey of how to lead a turnaround through conversations and through engagement, and how to activate other leaders within the organization to create a movement of change.
Fabulous, fabulous. So, Ahad, I'm going to move to the last segment of our conversation. I have time for two questions more. My next question to you is, what are some of the core values you believe in? Because you work with so many companies and so many individuals.
Look, you know, it's interesting. A lot of the businesses I've taken over and acquired, I didn't know anything about them. Mm-hmm. you know, high-end guitar business, distribution business, manufacturing. I mean, I went in there and I actually knew the least of anybody else. And so what I learned was, first of all, that's a huge advantage because it forces you to be humble. Mm-hmm. And I would walk in there and I'd say, the first thing I'd say is, I don't know, I'm new to this. So mm-hmm. I need to learn. And so I ask a lot of questions.
Okay.
And if I'm asking questions and I'm trying to learn, mm-hmm. those first 6 months, it's like drinking out of a water hose. Because I ask one question, I listen to what the person says, now I have 10 more questions. Okay. So, but an amazing thing happens is one, often, especially going back to the employees, those data centers, mm-hmm. nobody's ever asked them anything often. So now you have the CEO or the owner asking questions and just zoomed in on them. And that inspires them and they start talking and they're just sharing all this data that they know and they don't know what to do with, and you realize, well, why do you do it that way? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just, what is it? And so then the possibility of innovation and change comes. So mm-hmm. to go back to your question, humility is a big one. Curiosity. Mm-hmm. And really, I mean, I say listen, but what I mean by listen is, look, in my book, I talk about three zones of listening. Mm-hmm. Zone one is someone is talking and you interrupt them because you agree or you're thinking about something else. You're in zone one. You're in your own head. Zone two, someone's talking and you're like in a tunnel with them. Like you could miss a flight. You're so focused on every word they're saying. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's zone three is you have an emotional connection with you feel what the person is feeling. You hear what the person's not saying. Zone two, zone three, that's listening. And so that's the kind of listening I think is so crucial for a senior executive or a leader, because you pick up on things and you make a connection that otherwise, you know, wouldn't be possible.
Incredible. Incredible. So my last question to you, and this is for the thousands of people who will listen to you. What would your advice be to a young individual who's starting off on her or his journey as an entrepreneur?
My advice would be to really enjoy the process. And if you're not enjoying the process because you're so committed to that big exit, mm-hmm. You need to really rethink about what you're doing or why you're doing it. Mm-hmm. Because in order to get to that public offering exit or whatever it is, you really need to really find joy and you need to be able to melt into the process and be part of it every day and approach it with that sort of curiosity, that listening and that absorption. Mm-hmm. Because one, then you're happy and you're guaranteed to be successful because you're part of it. Because you think it's going to go one way, it's not. It's going to go completely, the outcome or how it's going to roll out, it's going to look completely different. But you'll never know that if you're so rigid on your ideas and you're just so eager to get to that finish line. You know, every day is like a little finish line.
Very interesting. Ahad, thank you so much. This has been such a pleasure and privilege speaking to you. Speaking to a turnaround artist who's actually not just writing a book, but has actually built a phenomenal business about creating new companies out of companies in turmoil. Thank you again, and I wish you lots of success.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Ashutosh.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.